You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and I'm joined by Tim Barnes, and I'll talk to him. Maybe he's leaving us, and I'm okay with that. Fine, whatever. But we'll talk to him. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm very well. I don't
Tim,
think
don't
I had...
leave.
Tim, you're making Craig sad. Comedian Tim Barnes is going to a sunnier climes, but he's in studio. Have you been in studio on my show? You've been in bed on my show.
I've been, I don't know if
maybe
I've been.
Maybe once.
I've been in studio. I've been in studio when you were not in studio.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so this is our first, and then you're leaving, and that's
now, I'm going to New York.
Yeah. Oh, you're in New York?
Yeah.
You said LA.
I'm from LA. It's my life is confusing.
Are you and Emily moving in together in New York?
No,
Emily Galati, you and Emily.
Oh, she's moving.
She's moving to New York as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She's going in August.
Wow.
Yes.
A lot of people are moving. It's what happens in Chicago.
We used to not. We used to all just stay here and let our careers sort of plateau and just go, I guess this is what's going to happen to us. Seriously, a lot of us are like, I like my city.
Yeah, well, if it works.
Tim Barnes is leaving Chicago, and we should have had like a going away cake or something. I should have planned this better.
No, that's...
You know what? I hired a band for you. Our band tonight is Kodiak, and they were kind enough to let us reschedule them. I'm so sorry. I know last night you were scheduled to be... No? Were you not? Yeah, they're like, yeah, sure. I love that you're just like, we're just rolling with it. We're just here, and that's
awesome. Wow, you guys weren't even scheduled yesterday? I'm pretty sure you were.
No, we were.
Okay.
Oh. We appreciate you being patient with our having to reschedule you and excited to hear your music. They are playing on July 2nd at Shuba's. Here is Kodiak with Postscript.
I miss the bell shape of your waist, and I miss walks around the lake.
I miss the fierceness in your eyes.
Your hand, it felt so good in mine. Well, it won't go slowly enough. Won't go slowly enough. And I miss the way your head would lay. I'd watch you sleep at the break of day. It won't go slowly enough. It won't go slowly enough. And in the intervening space, my heart beat numb and out of rhythm. My dreams have tried to recreate the moments past what we were given. And I miss the bell shape of your waist, and I miss walks around the lake. And I miss the fierceness in your eyes. Your hand, it felt so good in mine. Well, it won't go slowly enough. It won't go slowly enough. No, it won't go slowly enough. It won't. Slowly enough.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We were Facebook Live with that. Now I have to, I probably should.
I knew you missed me, Patty, but I didn't know you missed the bell shape of my curves.
You have lovely curves. That was Kodiak and Postscript. They'll be playing at Shuba's on July 2nd. I have to say goodbye to our Facebook friends who joined in. We're getting Shane Reardon has chimed in and said that.
This is actually Facebook Live.
This is actually Facebook Live. Have you not done Facebook Live?
I've never done it on my own, actually. Hello, what was his name?
It was Shane Reardon. He's a producer here. I know that you've been gone for a while. I miss you. And Howard Dubow, who's a friend of the show, also says hello and enjoyed
Craig
the music.
Craig Collins was watching for a little bit.
Were you watching for how did it look?
It looked great.
Did it look all right?
They all sounded really great.
They were beautiful music. All right, let me finish. Bye, everybody. Bye, I'm on the air. It's a sort of, it's better than periscoping. I didn't mean to be caught in the middle of that. I try to be a little more seamless, but, you know, I don't really know how to do that.
Yeah.
All my seams are showing, Tim Barnes.
I just want to know, is Kodiak an actual word or is it?
Is it a name? Is it a title? It's a reference to a place.
It's a bear.
It's a bear and a place. Isn't there Kodiak, Alaska?
There is totally Kodiak, Alaska.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. I think Zodiac. When I first heard it, I thought there was someone in the band named Cody. And now I know that there's a place called Kodiak. So I got a type of bear.
Yeah. Well, you can come closer to the microphones just because otherwise. It's weird because you have all your equipment. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
All right. They'll keep closer, and I saw that like their guitars and the
instruments are breaking.
Just, like, bang right. I'm like, oh, maybe I should wait until after the next song to give them an opportunity to put their instruments aside. And I said equipment, by the way. Do you have your own microphone as a stand-up comic, Tim Barnes?
Do I bring a microphone to? Are there comics that do that? Bring their
own? No, not at all.
Okay.
or a mic stand. No, that's never happened.
Patty, do you have more than one microphone?
I have two microphones and I have two mic stands.
You bring a microphone to your. I mean, that's smart because you're guaranteed to get the sound quality that you want. You're guaranteed there's no mic issues.
Got my cord. Got my 20-foot
cord.
That's
cool. It's like a lightsaber almost.
Would you guys show up to an event?
Is it really, though?
Would you show up to an event? I mean, I know you use a microphone. So you've been to venues where the sound system, you're like, I only have what instruments that I have, which is your guitar and your, is it a
cello?
A cello, thank you. I have to ask, I don't want to get it wrong. And
mandolin.
So you wouldn't go there, and we have only our voices, so we rely heavily on the sound system and the quality of the microphones. See, the mic stand for a stand-up comic, we often use it as a prop. We lean on it. We move it up and down. So a lot of places you go to, it's stripped. Mm-hmm. The pole is stripped, so you can't get it up or down. It's just stuck. So I have what's called a pistol grip microphone stand. So you just squeeze it and it slides up and down.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and I know some people who hate wireless mics.
I hate wireless mics.
Because, yeah. I mean, the wire is sort of a prop, too. Some people need the wire.
I've actually used to have a bit about, it doesn't matter what the bit was, but there are people who will use the mic cord. But beyond that, you also run the risk of the RF frequency. You are vulnerable to anything else that kind of cuts in and out. It's like having Wi-Fi. Really.
Yeah, you get a random phone call from someone's mother in the middle of your set.
Or a cab driving by. It's happened.
A Spotify playlist just starts.
Exactly. You're like, there have been times when I've heard other things. And then the audience sometimes doesn't hear it because it might be on the monitor.
Oh, just you. And then you feel like you're going crazy.
These are the things. These are the things. So that won't happen at Shuba's because they have a great venue, a great sound system, and you'll be playing on July 2nd. So where are you from, Christian?
I am from Minneapolis originally, but I moved here about 6 years ago.
And what brought you to Chicago?
School. I got my degree from Columbia downtown in music.
Lovely. And you stayed after that.
I did. You like Chicago.
And not New York, right? You're going to stay here.
So New York sounds expensive.
See what I'm doing? New York is. It's very expensive, Tim Barnes.
Yeah,
hold on. Claire, I was wondering, where are you from?
I also grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I actually grew up a block from Christian.
Oh, okay.
So.
And Minneapolis is, now for one thing, let me ask you this. What is the first thing people say when you say Minneapolis?
Lakes or the Mall of America?
Yeah, I was going to ask it. I was like, don't say Mall of America. Don't say Mall of America. Don't say Mall of America. What would you rather the city is known for? Like, isn't Schultz the Peanuts creator from Minneapolis?
Bob Dylan, Camp
right?
Snoopy was in the Mall of America. If you ask me about Camp Snoopy, then you have my respect because it's not called that anymore.
It's not called Camp Snoopy. I was there when I was at the, what was the name of it? There was a, you're too young. But there was a comedy club there that I used to perform at. And it was like, it had like a goofy like comedy club name that we're used to, like Hilarities or something.
Mall
like
of
that.
America sounds like what Donald Trump would call the White House, if you got it.
It does a little bit, doesn't it? I love that. What, have you ever been to the Mall of America?
I've never been to the Mall.
It's ridiculous.
The Mall of America.
You can't go to, I mean, like, there's just thousands of stores. And it's, I can't explain it. Like, there's not floor levels because then there are, like, ramps. And then there, those are, like, also floors where there are stores. And
there's like, a lot of multiples of one store. There's, yes, like, six Caribou Coffees in the Mall of America, just in case, you know, the one nearest you isn't enough.
You've strayed too far.
Well, at least it's not a Starbucks, right?
It might not. I don't know what else they have there. And where are you from, Paul?
I'm from Chicago.
Can you come a little bit closer?
I'm from Chicago.
What part of the South Side?
South Side of Chicago.
And what part of the South Side? Just South?
Evergreen Park, yeah. Greenwood, sort of.
Did you go to Morgan Park, or what high school did you go to?
I went to Chisez.
I've never heard of Chisez.
It's CHSAS, Chicago High School for Agricultural Sciences. I'm not even sure what the abbreviation is anymore. It's been too long.
He's like, his mind, and your mind just drifted. He was like thinking about like some of the agriculture that he planted, perhaps. He's like, remember when I planted corn?
Right.
So Tim Barnes, you are heading out to New York. Are you?
Yes.
How do I say this?
What prompted me?
No, I think that there's that urgency at some point in someone's career in stand-up comedy where your choices are L.A. or New York.
Do you want me to take the question, Patty, real quick? Tim, the question to you is, why?
It really is sort of I believe in the hero's journey, you know, and I think it's just the next place to be. I need to feel like I'm in a new place and I need to prove my funniness to people all over again.
Well, it also changes your perspective.
Yeah.
You'll be influenced by your environment, your peers, you know, different comics, different takes, because there does start to become sort of this, again, a vacuum of, you know, the same things. And because some comics will either do the same material, you also get clicks, you get... For me, it was, I went on the road a lot. Like I would go to North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa. I was just on the road, so I didn't fall into any of the open... I really didn't do that many open mics. And there does seem to become this culture of judgmentalness. Is that a word?
I think that's a word. And in terms of L.A. versus New York, I chose New York over L.A. because I believe in the power of friction. You're in your car or in a building in L.A. You're not, like, walking around. And I feel like my success is always in just, like... the random moment of bumping into the right person at the right time.
Or the right situation.
The right situation. Yeah. I'm going to be in less situations in L.A. because I'm an introvert. Whereas in New York, I'm always going to be around somebody, even if I'm alone in a room.
That's one of the best answers I have ever heard in my career, because I've been doing this for, let's say, a long time. And, you know, people, like, one person said, well, you have to move on because it's, you know, doing comedy in Chicago is like being in high school, and at some point you have to go to college. And I was like, yeah, that's not really a good reason, Amy. Let's call her Amy because that was her name.
There just are more comedy work opportunities in New York.
It wasn't
Chicago,
Amy Schumer,
too.
By the way. It was Amy Cross. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. But in terms of comedy work, there's more opportunities in L.A. I mean, in New York compared to Chicago, too.
Yes. So, there are different opportunities, right, depending on what you want to do. I'm sure you have like a network of friends out there. A lot of people have been leaving and going to New York.
I do. Yes. I know. Do you know who Lisa Traeger is?
Yes.
She's one of my favorite comedians. I know she's out there right now. And then Will Miles, Clark Jones and Kenny DeForest are out there. They took over the show that Hannibal used to do
The Knitting Factory. That's
so
very cool.
Yeah, it's I've actually heard a lot of New Yorkers are like, there's a sort of a dislike, so to speak, in a certain sense, to Chicago comics who moved to New York because of how successful some Chicago comics have been out there.
Yeah, and I do think that that's the sensibility that they bring out there. It's a freshness. It's something that a lot of, whether it's talent agents or, you know, people on shows see something and they're like, oh, that's something we haven't heard yet. Mm. Because because New York becomes its own vacuum of perspective.
Yeah.
And I think in music, I mean, do you guys get a chance to sort of hang out with a lot of musicians here in Chicago? I mean, I think that any industry in show business can be either supportive or it can be cliquish and judgmental.
I think, you definitely get a little bit of both. Like, we definitely have a pretty big network of friends who we really want to see doing well. But at the same time, there's always a little bit of jealousy when you see somebody doing something where you're like, man, I could totally do that. And I'm not doing that at this very moment.
So. Right. And you have to ask, what is it that I'm not doing to get me to where I'm supposed to be? I think is hard to do, too, because it is that moment. And I think a lot of comics really suffer from why them, not me. And, you know, you have all these sayings of it's not my journey, it's not my turn. But you also have to know what what is it you want as a stand-up comic? We are talking to Tim Barnes, who is taking leave of Chicago, going on to his next step in his journey in stand-up comedy. He's going off to New York. Do you have any shows before you go?
I do. I'm having a final...
York, I mean.
Before I go to New York, yes, I have a final live recording of my podcast, It's All True, this Thursday.
Cool.
At North Bar in Wicker Park.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
North Park, what time is it, North Park?
It starts at 8 at North Bar.
North Bar
in Wicker Park.
I combined those two things. You said things and I just decided to skip some of the words in between.
Yeah.
North Bar in Wicker Park.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can get tickets and info on that at live@northbar.com.
And we also have Kodiak in the studio. They're going to play another song for us in just a moment. More with Tim Barnes and our new friends, Christian, Paul, and Claire, after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We had Music Monday yesterday, but I think tonight, what do you think, Tuneful Tuesday? Is that's too much, isn't it? That's a little.
No, I love Tuneful Tuesday.
Tuneful Tuesday.
I'm getting a Tuneful Tuesday. I'm Pretty Late.
We're so happy to introduce you to Kodiak. They're playing on Saturday, July 2nd at Shuba's. Here they are right now playing Last Goodbye.
Never been anywhere but here. The ground is often cool beneath my feet. And everywhere's an open road to go. I thought as much, but I won't ever see. Well, you're only as good as your last goodbye. Now that you're older, you found out why. Yes, you're only as good as your last goodbye. Now that you're older, you found out why. Have you ever been caught beneath the waves? Those boundless depths, that wicked undertow. And though the water's calm and often clear, I wanna leave the shore. I wanna find the storm. I wanna leave the shore. I wanna find the storm and look for something more. The light beneath the door. Rivers rushing round the bend. The tallest peaks are often worth the climb. And be that traveler, long alone I stood. The path between the way beneath the woods. Well, you're only as good as your last goodbye. Now that you're older, you found out why. Yes, you're only as good as your last goodbye. Now that you're older, you found out why. If you've ever been anywhere but here. You felt the freedom found within the breeze. And everyone you thought you ever knew, remember someone, but it's never you.
Thank you so much to Kodiak. They were such lovely musicians. That was Claire, Paul, and Christian. They'll be playing on Saturday, July 2nd at Shubas. Go to shubas.com. Is that the... It was that weird moment where I wanted to take a selfie with them, and then Tim started packing up. I'm like, where are you going? You've not been dismissed.
Yeah, Tim, you can't leave yet. Yeah. It's
do you need to go?
No, I don't need to go. No, I have...
The website is lh-st.com for Lincoln Hall and Shubas Tavern.
There you go.
Lh-st.
Great spaces.
We've never had you in the studio. You're now moving to New York. Yeah, I'm going to keep you till 6 a.m.
All right.
We're not even going to be on
I
the air anymore.
Went...
Yeah, it doesn't. We just get to keep the studio because Nick D's upstairs on the 7th floor.
Oh, nice.
So you're staying.
Yeah.
It's the meaning of life. What's the point?
What's the point? Are you starting to feel like Tim Barnes is making you question what the point is, Craig?
I just recovered from crying in the corner, so yeah.
Yeah, you know, Seinfeld was what's the deal, I'm what's the point.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good. What's the point?
What's the point?
My next show is going to be called After the Yelling Stops.
Yeah. I mean, it's not good to think that, like, I used to fail classes just to see if I felt anything.
No.
So... Because I don't believe in grades, obviously.
Obviously.
Well, then, of course, you didn't feel anything.
Exactly.
No. Yeah. Why do you have to experience something to see if it's real? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's the point of failing at something to see if you'll feel anything? What difference does it make if you feel something or don't feel something?
I mean, the feeling is the worth. You know, it feels good to make money.
Right.
So I'm willing to...
But money has no
meaning,
about.
But I'm willing to give it some due because of that.
Give it a shot?
Give it a shot.
I'll give it a shot being rich, just to see. I'd like to be rich to see how I feel.
Yeah,
see,
exactly.
That makes more sense that I wanted to fail to see how I felt, anything.
And I failed and I was like, I feel fine.
Yeah, so you've gotten that out of the way.
Out of the system. That's why I'm a comedian.
So you're going to New York to see how success feels.
Exactly.
Good luck with that.
From the 847, real quick, I sure am glad I'm drinking while listening to the show tonight.
Hold on a second. Let me go to we have a closet in there somewhere. What else is in our closet? I know we have Lou Malnati's gift cards. That file cabinet got anything I can help
we
out
with? We have Lou's and we have Apt Electronics gift cards.
Yeah, let me see if we have any bourbon. Not for our listeners, just for the rest of this show. We have quinoa sticks, that's for sure. Yes, Craig?
I don't believe in quinoa sticks. So.
Yes, well, they exist. Yeah. They're right here in this bag.
I don't know about that.
Would you like
Not
some more
sure
quinoa
they're there.
I love more quinoa sticks.
Oh, Tim. Don't do that.
What else are our texters saying besides you're going to need some drinking to go along with this show?
I don't know. It's someone keeps texting in that they're very upset with Omarosa. Is she a person still?
Who's why would they be texting us about Omarosa?
Hmm. Omarosa, I mean, you're nothing but an ugly terrible words.
Do they think that I'm Omarosa?
No, for Trump campaign.
Is there something I'm going to check Twitter to see if there's something going on
with
Omarosa.
I doubt it.
There might be.
Well, he fired his campaign manager yesterday, which my husband said is like shooting the jockey when the horse has broken its leg. But I'm not sure.
I'm trying to figure out how to spell Omarosa.
Well, I think you can just write it. You just type it phonetically, right?
Yeah.
Ama. Is it with an A or Ima? Is it Ima? Ima. Ama. A-M-A.
But
Rosa.
He could have picked her as VP or something.
Omarosa.
Yes.
Spelled in the text is spelled completely wrong, but actually spelled is O-M-A-R-O-S-A.
Oh.
There are a lot of tweets about Omarosa right now.
What's going on? She's trending?
I mean, if you type it in. I don't know if she's trending, but...
Her last tweet was congratulating the Cavs?
The what? Oh, the Cavs.
Cleveland Cavaliers, yeah.
So she's very... So she's from Cleveland, perhaps?
I don't know.
I'm catching up on my
I'm
emails
so
while
confused.
You guys figure this out.
No, it's totally fine. I don't think we have to figure this out, by the way.
I think you do.
There's one... I mean...
Someone's clearly upset on our text screen.
Mm-hmm. One tweet I see says, America isn't as religious as it used to be, so Omarosa is incorrect. Hashtag New Age.
Oh, so something... She must have said something.
Yeah, she must have said something today.
She said
or yesterday,
that she was... Trump's Valerie Jarrett. She believes that she is Trump's Valerie Jarrett.
Oh, okay.
That, yeah.
I don't know any of... See, What's the point?
She believes she is.
That's what she said.
She
said,
so
I
she has
am
found
Trump's
truth in that statement.
Valerie Jarrett. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Should, do you really want to compare? Should you be comparing yourself to other people?
I don't think so.
I know I saw an article that says you should be comparing yourself to others, but I think as performers, I don't think it's as healthy as perhaps.
Yeah, definitely don't compare. Just no. Keep your head down and walk your path.
We were mentioning earlier that you're moving to New York. You have decided that's the next path in your journey.
Yes.
And there's another comedian leaving. Emily Galati is leaving in August.
Hilarious comedian.
She's very funny, very talented. She gets a little upset on Facebook. Do you put like your anger and rage, like things that bother you personally?
I disguise all of my anger and rage through jokes.
Yes.
I like to bury it to the point where you wouldn't even know what the original emotion was.
This joke's not about you?
Yeah.
You like to do.
Yeah, but are you saying she allows her rage to be shown?
Yeah, I don't.
I can see that.
Yeah, she does a lot of that. Yeah. I don't, because Esmeralda and I, like, we put links to things. Esmeralda's got good links to, like, I found something that I still have not done my baby foot petty treatment. That was a link I found on Esmeralda's page.
Yours would probably work better.
But you're saying that post was out of anger? I'm confused.
No. I don't know.
I'm wondering. About dry skin.
I'm wondering. I don't know. Those are the kinds of posts that Esmeralda and I have. We're like, check out this article.
Yeah.
Or, you know, this is me lifting a barbell. And actually, while I'm lifting the barbell, I'm angry about stuff. But that's how I hide my.
I do the articles because I feel people. There's many people that can say what I want to say better.
Right.
Than what I can write out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, look at this article. They say it much better than what I'm going to write.
Or I feel like I don't want to get in the middle of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I have a difficulty
Someone's
saying,
calling you right now.
Yeah, someone's Who's, calling me. It's my girlfriend.
Oh, you can take the call. Go
I
ahead.
Can take the call
yeah,
right
go
now.
Ahead. Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead. Just answer. Go ahead and answer.
Yeah, go ahead and answer.
By the way, I've only gotten angry once on social media.
Hello?
And it was Batman versus Superman.
You got very angry.
Hello?
Hey, did you keep that poster that I gave you that Steve held on for you?
I haven't, like, thrown it out or anything, so I think it's still in our office somewhere.
Is your claw blocked from your girlfriend?
Yeah,
no,
she
just hung up and sent me a text.
Okay.
So everything's good. I think maybe she didn't know that I'm still on the radio.
Yeah, you can call her back. You can call her. Here, get her on the line.
Yeah, call her.
Give Craig her number.
Oh, you want me to call her?
On the air.
No, we're
Are you sure?
We're good right now. Yeah,
I don't want to get in the middle of your relationship. She clearly didn't think you were going to be here this long. Oh, sure you're with Patty. Uh-huh. Tell me that story again. Get all in trouble and stuff. Call your girlfriend during the break. More for this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by comedian and writer. And what other credits would you like?
Well, I write for the AV Club. I write for their weekly podcast roundup review. Podmas.
Did you not want to be in the same room at the same time with your editor-in-chief?
You know what? I didn't know he was the editor-in-chief.
Are you sure?
Do you not believe in titles at work and like hierarchy?
Well, I'm just a contributor. I don't work in the office or anything.
Got it. When you send your story in and then John Tatey, the editor-in-chief, sends back, do you not believe in that whole thing?
I also technically wrote for two episodes of Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, that was fun.
It's on another radio station.
So let's
stop talking.
Oh, yeah, let's stop talking.
I know people are really big fans of that. I told my brother that I was doing radio in Chicago. He's like, oh, on NPR? He's like, no.
I've never heard of Wait, Don't Tell Me, so yeah, I don't know what that is.
So your girlfriend called, and did she know you were doing radio tonight?
She knew I was doing radio. I think she knew that I was going to be here at midnight.
Right.
So, but I think you tell... When you do a lot of shows and things, it sounds like you're saying nothing. Where you say, I'm doing this.
Yes.
Because I had a comedy show tonight before I came here, too.
Where'd you perform?
At the Beat Kitchen for Chicago Underground Comedy.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that was fun.
Big turnout?
Great turnout.
Yes, was it?
Yeah, it was fun. They introduced me. I had this great introduction by this comedian, Ricky Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to go up the steps and I tripped.
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you done that before? Have you tripped before?
I don't think I've tripped before, but never when you're the headliner and it's like this big rising applause and then you kind of ruin it at the top like that.
Uh-huh.
But I saved it with my awkward style, I think.
What's your go-to? Because I don't know. I'm trying to think of what I might. I've fallen off the stage in the middle of a performance.
Really?
Twice, yes.
Wow.
Twice.
Because you're just like walking on the edge.
Yeah, I'm like trying to get to the audience. I keep getting closer to them and just bang right off it. And flipped one time, but
wow.
I'm fine. So what was your go-to? What was
I got up.
Do you pop up right away?
I popped up. It wasn't a bad trip. It was just like an obvious trip like
were you,
my hands
did you,
up.
Right. So yeah. So you were.
Yeah, and I was still. I still had a couple steps to go up.
Okay.
So it wasn't too bad, but it was just a little awkward. And the first thing I said was, when I got here, I told myself, "Don't trip."
Yeah.
And here, I got a laugh.
People don't realize how. But I actually do tell myself, "Don't fall, don't fall, don't fall." Yeah. On my way to the stage.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't fall.
Yeah.
Mostly because I'm usually wearing heels. Were you wearing heels?
I was not wearing heels. I usually do.
Okay.
But.
Because you like to be taller.
Yeah.
How much taller would that make
how
you?
How much more uncomfortable would he be in his height if he was wearing heels?
Yeah.
So that's an uncomfortable moment. Oh, but you'll remember that forever, though. That's the nice thing, yeah.
That's one of those shows, that was one of the first shows I was super excited about to do when I got booked there, 3 years ago, maybe. And even that first time, I feel like I had a horrible set. So I feel like there's just sort of a bad luck thing.
That first set you ever did at the Beat Kitchen?
At the Beat Kitchen, yeah. I feel it was terrible, but I think it's just my expectations of, you learn different things.
Do you remember bad sets? Do you hold on to
them? The early ones. The ones that happen now, I don't remember them so much.
How can you remember the early bad sets?
That's an interesting thing.
I guess there's some, yes.
Tim's approach to comedy is very quick. There's very, a lot of one-line kind of punches. When you have a bad set compared to Patty, who's more of a storyteller at times, is there a difference with how that goes, since you're trying to hit people with so many jokes so quickly, and maybe, Patty, you can more interact with the audience and try to...
The expectation is different, I think, with one-liners, right? So they're sort of like you're floating something up out to somebody, and so you're hoping that it lands, whereas I'm like, take it or leave it. There's another train coming in a second. You can get on that one if you want to.
Yeah, the key is to make it seem like it's the worst when the audience can tell that you're expecting a laugh.
Yes.
But if you just keep going, you keep talking, it just feels like I just said something in front of the next thing.
If it's casual, it has to be a very take it or leave it sort of a moment.
Yeah.
And if your anticipation is that they were supposed to laugh at that, you will go nuts.
Yeah, and if they can read that,
Oh, yeah. And fear. The audience is like a dog.
Yeah.
They can smell fear. I know. It sounds terrible to say that. No, but I mean it in a good way. Like, dogs can smell fear.
That's so interesting.
I've gotten to a certain point of confidence where it's like a double-edged sword for me on stage, because for a while I got to the point where I would, yawn in between jokes.
You yawn? Was that kind of like your tell to the audience that they were supposed to, now you're just tired with them?
I think maybe it was a point where I was kind of tired of my routine a bit at that point.
Okay.
I needed to spice things up for myself.
Sure.
It was a point of confidence where it was if I bombed or if I did well, either way, I didn't care.
Okay. I'm gonna keep doing this thing. Yeah. Well, because George Burns had there are comics who do it's kind of like a tell, but it's a habit. And George Burns almost had a signal to the audience that that was the end of a joke and cue. It was like a physical cue. So he would take a drag on his cigar. So he would deliver a line and very casually lift his cigar to his lips, and the audience would start laughing. It was sort of a punctuation. Yes, Craig?
I'm so curious about something, the not caring when you bomb. Do you both get to that point where you just really don't? Because that also makes me wonder about how you interact with people every day. If you're so confident in life that you don't even care if you're embarrassing yourself in front of a
camera. It's not real.
Nothing is real. I have to really convince myself that there are consequences and that I have to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was part of this. That's probably why I'm moving out of Chicago in a certain way, because I've just kind of reached a thing where it's like, I don't even feel like proving I'm funny to people anymore. You know what I mean? I need to go to a place where I have to prove it again.
But that might be a good thing in New York. But you mean here. You don't feel like you have to prove anything here. You've done what you needed to do here.
Yeah, a part of me feels that way. Not that it's a fact. But
right.
Yeah.
No, but that's the way it can be a drain on you to be kind of, because it can be a wall that you keep hitting your head against. What am I doing this for? And this is what I had asked Emily when she asked me for some advice. I told her to think very carefully about what she wants to do. Do you want to be on television? Do you want to write a sitcom? Do you want to sell a sitcom? Do you want to be a road comic? I said, that's fine. That's a career. Mm. But you have to decide that that's going to be what you're doing. So if there's something else that you need, and you know this because you guys are both younger, there are so many different platforms now.
Yeah.
And this is true in any industry. You have to decide what it is you want to do. I knew when I got into stand-up comedy exactly what I wanted, which was to sell a sitcom about my family. And, there may have been different routes off of that. There may have been different that. But I always knew that that's what I got. One of the reasons I got into stand-up comedy was because I knew my parents, my family was kind of this very out there, kind of this great these great characters who I thought would just be wonderful to watch on TV. Whether that ever actually comes to fruition, I sold the idea. I wasn't wrong. ABC agreed, and they bought the idea. But then I also was very fortunate to also, while I was doing that, become a regular guest on WGN Radio with Steve Cochran and fall in love with this. So it's kind of being open to what else can you do? Because if it had just been the sitcom and that doesn't go, I would be in a lot of trouble, right? But I'm now, this is my passion too, is to be as good at this as I can possibly be. Tell as many stories, not mine entirely, but everyone's story.
I wonder if there was some sort of award that people gave out that could affirm if you're doing a good job.
And that was never my goal. I didn't even know that
No, we submitted you. You had no
No, I had no idea that that was like even possible that I was, you know, could. But what I'm saying is for you, you've already started that the mechanisms necessary to make sure that you,
I think so,
to be a writer.
And that's what's great about Chicago.
Yes.
I've worked at probably every media organization in Chicago, but I've got, as someone starting off in comedy, I got to figure out a lot. I was a film major. I got to do video stuff for different places and write for people, and I have a podcast that I started the podcast in a sense at WBEZ, and now I'm doing it independently. So I've done a lot of
where? I'm
sorry. Yeah, I've never heard of that. Is that like some sort of thing?
Hey, I used to work here. I used to work at WGN.
You worked right here? Yeah.
Oh, I've heard of WGN.
I was saying we actually video. He shot a video of me yelling at the Trump Tower because of the signage, Esmeralda, like 2 years ago. We shot this video. I was yelling about you may as well put your toupee on it.
That would be attractive. I mean, everyone hates the symbol on that tower. It's so big and gaudy.
There was a lot of hate at that moment.
That's true.
We were riding the wave.
You're riding the wave.
We didn't know there was a curve coming. Was what it was. We were like, "What, president?" Because people were like, a lot of people thought, what difference does it make? And now it makes a lot of, I don't know if it makes any difference.
And a lot of people are talking about where they're going to move if Trump gets elected. I'm going to move to the Nation of Islam.
I've already made
that decision.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. You know, they'd be very tall there. That'll be the thing that stands out the most in the Nation of Islam.
Tim, how tall
the
would
one
you
nation,
be there?
By the way, just the one Nation of Islam.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. One Nation of Islam under Groove.
Just curious how tall you'd be there.
I really do not know how tall I am.
That makes no sense.
No, and I'm not going to measure you.
This is, Eric. Eric Nieborowski. Mm-hmm.
Eric, also known as Eric, that was on national television last week. We didn't have him on. He didn't even ask. I mean, I guess we should have asked him.
Yeah.
Now he's too big.
That's his favorite example to describe me to people is this situation came up when we were working here. Some people were talking at the coffee area, and then someone turned to me and was like, "Hey, Tim, how tall are you?" And I was like, "I don't know." That was the whole conversation.
Maybe they needed you to get something off a shelf.
But it was just like, where is that conversation going to lead? I can already imagine a few examples, and I don't want to have anything to do with that conversation.
It's and you know what was interesting? The reason I asked Treasurer Frerichs last
examples.
Night,
sorry, go ahead.
Because they'll probably tell you, "Oh, I'm this height," and I'm going to go, "Oh, how interesting."
I'm trying to think of what I would say after I asked him how tall he was, and he didn't answer, which is a more interesting conversation than if he had given me
it
an
is.
Answer.
What if after you answered the question, they go, "Oh, that's tall."
Okay, but let me give you Oh, that is tall, right? Is that enough?
You can see that. You can see height, and you're like, "Oh, that's a tall person."
We want to orally manifest our suspicions.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We want
just
going to
go, "Oh, I have a friend who's that height. I'm glad I know."
But let me tell you something. You should meet them. You should meet my friend.
You guys would hit it off because of your
height. I know people who are 5'3 that I think Esmeralda would get along with very well. Maybe 5'4, and then I feel bad.
Yeah, we stand back to back.
Yes.
That's how we greet each other.
And then I just put my hand over their heads.
I know a few people that are like 5'6 that she would not get along with.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, we can't get along.
No, I just don't get how after you answer that question, the response is, "Oh."
Well, I will say this. I was very lucky last night. I was very lucky last night with Treasurer Frerichs because I said what I said rather than just how tall you are. I said, I bet they really wanted you to play basketball. Mm-hmm. And then he told this great story about how his dad and brother had both been very tall. So when he was in grade school, they put him on the basketball team and, you know, expecting him to be the star. And he was a center. So it was a lovely story from him.
Yeah.
And I think I always hope that there'll be something that I can lead to the next. I try to. That's my aspiration.
Can I tell you an example from my youth? That's probably why I don't believe in sports, to be honest.
Yes.
I was playing on a basketball team. I made a slam dunk, but it was on the wrong side of the court.
See?
Now, here's my thing. Yes. I still put the ball in the thing.
You got it.
I got it.
I can't do that. I can't slam dunk, Craig.
I still accomplished something.
You actually jumped up to a 10-foot high basket and you dunked it with your hands?
Yeah. Okay. I might be exaggerating, but I got the ball into the thing is what I'm saying. Something was accomplished.
It was if you felt victorious.
But it didn't count. It didn't count.
It didn't just
I
not count.
I felt like Bernie Sanders.
Tim, are you still exaggerating a little bit? Did the ball actually go in or did it miss?
The ball went in. There were cheers, but they were from the other team.
Well, not only did you accomplish something, but you also probably were ridiculed for an extraordinary amount of time.
But you know what I realized? I didn't care.
How old was the Tim who scored on the wrong basket?
Mm-hmm. How old was that Tim?
That you know what? I'm horrible at remembering ages.
More after this. We'll work on it after this. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Again, we've got to tape the off-the-air show someday. And this one was all airable. We just were talking about our careers and about how to, you know, telling other comics how to run their careers. And, I mean, you just don't. You just show up and do the work.
Yeah, just show up, be funny.
You're going to show up in New York now.
Yeah, shake a few hands. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
The hugging is weird. Do people hug you? You know why
people
they don't?
Hug.
Do they hug you?
People hug me.
They do?
Yeah.
It's because you're so tall. They want to get all up.
I'm also, you know,
I'm not sure how tall you are.
I'm a little cuddly.
You're very.
You could say that. Yeah.
Is that weird to like people like seek out hugs with you because they want to cuddle with you?
I think so.
Yeah.
And people, it's weird because I feel like I'm such an antisocial person, but I have this sort of smile that makes people, you know, like just in general want to talk to me.
You seem approachable.
Like, approachable.
Yeah.
I learned so many things about people. You know how I learned so many things about white people. By just standing still. You know, people, I kind of blend in. People don't know what's going on. I'm not necessarily like intimidating in demeanor.
Right. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You could be.
I learned so much about the world just by looking the way I look and not talking and
taking it all in.
Being an introvert has helped my comedy career in that way.
I'm curious, real quick, is hugging and cuddling the same thing? Because I feel like one is. A lot more.
The difference between hugging and cuddling, this is something I've learned in my relationship. A hug has a definitive ending.
Yes.
Cuddling, you don't know when that's going to end. And that
Are we
can
done
be a
now?
Little.
Are we done now?
Because how do you properly end a cuddle?
Right. Right. Because if you pull away first,
yeah.
Is there something wrong? I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. And you feel like you have to leave the cuddle to do something.
Right.
You can't leave a cuddle to just go on your phone.
No. No.
Yeah.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, that's not
You've
good.
You've learned that the hard way, haven't you?
You can do that after a hug, no problem.
Can you try to be on your phone while you're cuddling? Can you, like, just, you know?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
So no. I love cuddling, but the idea of not knowing when it's going to end is a little intimidating for me.
All right. It is. I can see that. Craig always hopes that a hug will end.
I actually hope a hug will never happen. As soon as it starts happening, I'm hoping
but
that
a hug is so brief. What kind of hugs are we talking about here?
No, even a brief regular, one, though.
Even like a half a hug.
Like
is a
when
bit
someone lifts their arms to hug, I really hope that they close them before I'm inside them. Like, I just really hope that
But you know what? I prefer a hug to a handshake.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, no.
I feel like it's just like a brief moment of like a handshake isn't. I mean, the history of the handshake. Do you know the history of the handshake? Or what
no,
I've always been, maybe
tell
it's
me
an
the
urban
history.
Legend, but it's to make sure that the other person isn't holding a weapon or something like that.
That's
like
acceptable.
Shake, yeah, yeah.
So I think that's a great reason to shake
very,
hands.
But it's not a
very
peaceful, you know, it's something that's guarded about a handshake. A hug, very accepting.
Okay.
It's also brief.
Yes.
And something more human about
it. But you can also pat that person down and make sure they don't have a weapon.
That's true.
It seems like even more aggressively checking for weapons. You're like, nope, nothing on you? All right. Just checking to see if you're packing back here. Yeah. You got a holster? That seems like even more disarming.
But as humans, we need hugs. This is, I mean.
We don't need handshakes.
We don't need handshakes.
Interesting.
So we don't need hugs.
We need, like, a child needs to be hugged. That's a fact, right?
Well, children, humans. But once you get to a certain age.
I think we still need that as we get older. We're things like education and
It's a
work.
Gesture of peace that the hand Log holds no hand. Weapon. That's a handshake. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I feel like you were talking, and Craig's like laughing at something you said, and I'm like moving on.
He said, yeah, he was still. Yeah.
I said things like education and work bog us down from our humanity.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so we need to hug?
We just need to hug.
To unbogged?
And you hug anybody at any time.
I don't hug anybody at any time.
By the way, I want you to know, Craig, that this, the description of Mike's comment is going to be the next title, not after the yelling ends, but When Cuddling Ends is going to be the title of my next album, When Cuddling Ends. Mike, what do you want to share with us?
When cuddling, doesn't it, when somebody falls asleep, that's when cuddling ends?
Oh, man, what if...
Well, yeah, that's the thing. A cuddle...
That's a natural
end. A cuddle ends when one of the people in the cuddle dies or falls asleep.
Yeah.
Mike, but then Mike and Tim and everybody else. Okay, so you're cuddling and I don't fall asleep first. Other things have to happen before I fall asleep. Yeah. So now my arm is stuck.
Yeah, and then.
And so I have to make sure I don't wake that person.
We just learned that Patty's Big Spoon. That's awesome.
Well, my thing is like, there's a point in the cuddle for me. When I'm thinking about all the things I want to do other than cuddle. So then you're cuddling, and then you're just like, I want to do this. I want to check this on the computer. I want to, you know.
But then I'm very curious.
Let's cut this part out of the podcast.
No, I'm very curious with Mike's call, too, because cuddling is not comfortable for very long, so people don't typically fall asleep.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's like
the little spoon feels kind of like congested, and the big spoon has an arm that's in an uncomfortable
stuck.
Position.
Stuck. All right, Mike. Thank you so much, Mike.
It's the indefinite amount of time that you're getting yourself into that is difficult for me.
Well, then I think that I'm just trying to think back. I think that possibly, yeah, maybe like what you need to do is because cuddling is expected almost all the time, isn't it? After.
Mm-hmm. Patrick just said that cuddling ends when. What you're talking about happens.
Oh, so really?
That's when he believes that cuddling
after
is
orgasm,
over.
After orgasm, cuddling
the
ends?
Coitus.
He believes that coitus is cuddling.
No,
that's
he believes
interesting.
That is the... I think what he was saying is that cuddling is the preamble to everything else.
Gotcha.
Not the postscript.
But what Patty just said is that cuddling is expected after that as well. So then you got yourself into a big cuddle conundrum.
There's an article that I read just the other day that science determined that a 15-minute cuddle post... coitus makes you a happier person.
Huh.
Esmeralda's like, I can't. This is all.
I'll find the science article.
These are all things that I don't even want to get in the middle of or on top of or lie next to.
I don't want people out there to think that I don't like cuddling. I do like cuddling.
Yes.
Cuddling's great. I love it.
I like cuddling as well.
Yeah.
But that's kind of that moment where you're like, okay.
Yeah. And no one wants to be the first one to do that. You know?
Gosh, I have so many things to tell you that I'm not going to because my husband listens to the podcast. But yes, Craig, what kind of texts are you getting?
I don't know. Researchers at the University of Toronto studied 335 participants, 138 men, 197 women, and found that in order to have satisfaction with your sex life, there needed to be roughly 15 minutes of cuddling afterward.
There you go.
To be closer, to feel happier with everything else that happened.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Science discovered this, man. Cuddling needs to happen.
I just like having a timer on everything, basically. That's, that really
minutes.
Boils it down.
That's, and we're done. So you, what neighborhood are you moving out of?
I'm moving out of Bronzeville.
Bronzeville? How did you end up in Bronzeville?
Do you know who Brian Babylon is?
I do know Brian Babylon.
He's
moved to L.A.
When he moved to L.A., he moved to L.A. to work on Hannibal's Comedy Central show that he had at the time. I became the tenant of his space. In Bronzeville.
Okay. Yeah. How have you liked that neighborhood?
It's nice. It was right across the street from Jokes and Notes, which I was just talking to you about
over
the break. They're closing.
They're closing, which is surprising.
Very sad.
I did not know that they were closing. Gosh. Yeah. You never like to see a comedy venue go away.
Especially like the only comedy club on the south side of Chicago, basically.
Exactly.
Stand-up comedy club.
Yeah. No, that's unfortunate. And I'm sad to see that go. We are talking to Tim Barnes, who is moving to New York. And have you planned out who you're going to be living with in New York?
I have. I found someone on this. There's a part of Facebook called Gypsy Housing. I know Gypsy is a complicated term.
Yes.
But it's basically
laden with all kinds of...
Yes. But the idea is that artists are kind of a traveling people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lot of artists, people who do music, painting, stand-up, et cetera,
okay,
who are traveling and need people to live in their space while they're gone.
And, okay, so he won't be, this performer will not be in their space?
Yes, so I'm subletting.
You're subletting.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. And do you have a lease? Is there a legal document that protects your...
For the sake of radio and things I don't know about, I'll say yes.
Okay. No, you're not going to get in trouble. I'm trying to think of your safety.
Patty, Tim
that
doesn't
person...
believe in leases.
I don't. I really, I, honestly, I don't. I don't know what you know.
That kind of document would look like. Okay, we're going to have some long conversations because as you go further into, yeah. We were talking before about some of the legal stuff you can get into when it comes to show business.
Uh-huh.
I want to make sure that when you, make sure you have someone read all of your contracts.
Yeah.
Because like when I did a special, there was a show we did and they basically, from my 6-minute set, the network wanted to be able to own anything that I inspired from my set. Like if there was
wow.
something that they saw that would look good as a show,
yeah.
like we had to take that out. Like I've talked to other comics who just signed it because they yeah. wanted to be on television.
I think the thing that is a struggle for me in terms of contracts and that I have to always remind myself is that contracts are negotiable.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
They're negotiable.
Yeah. They're not written in stone.
No.
They're the beginning of a conversation.
They're an invitation.
Yeah.
I always think of a contract, and I know that sounds kind of a little like, you know, la la la, we're going to do something fun. But I know that other people come into it as a battle, and I understand that too, but yeah. I think of it as an invitation to a conversation. It's getting the ball rolling. It's saying, look, we want to work with you. These are the terms by which we want to do it.
Yeah.
What do you think? And you have to go back and forth.
Exactly.
And you have to be able to give on some things, but there are some things you have to hold true to yourself on.
Yes.
So
I think one of the smartest things I've ever done contract-wise with the advice of my girlfriend is retain the rights to my podcast because I've had
yes.
it at a few different organizations yeah. over its history. And retaining the rights is such a big deal because
absolutely,
especially when some of those organizations stop existing. That would be crazy if I didn't have the rights for the show.
Yeah, you have to maintain that. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. We're hanging out with Tim Barnes. And the reason I was asking where you're moving from, can you find out who represents the Bronzeville area? Tell them they're going to be losing a constituent. Were you vote? Did you vote in your local primaries and you voted and all that? So
yeah.
You voted for Bronzeville. So do you happen to know the district there or who your reps are and your senator, do you?
Not off the top of my head.
All right, I'm going to go have to find that. Bronzeville, Chicago. All right, we're going to look for we do a last call. We call legislators and tell them
whoa.
To fix the state.
Okay.
More after this on 720 WGN. Before we do our last call, I do want to say hi to Tracy Butler, who is so sweet. She tweets at us, and I have her number, and I think randomly we will have to give her a call at some point. And I want to thank – oh, I shouldn't have even said that. Tracy Butler, forget that. I just said that. She does weather on Channel 7, and we love that she listens to the show. And we should call her some night. But right now, we are going to call your representative.
Yes.
You're leaving his district. You are represented by Ken Duncan, who is the representative for the – oh, boy, let's see. Do we have
Chicago
a –
Chicago runs on Duncan.
Chicago runs on Duncan.
Man, I should work in politics.
I don't know.
That's a great slogan.
He represents the 5th District. Let's see if we... I don't know if I have his... He's a very dapper dresser.
Okay.
He
is this his cell phone?
Oh, you have reached the office of the state representative.
His office.
Duncan. I'm sorry, but we are unable to answer your call at this time.
Oh.
If you leave your name, number, and the reason that you called, we will return your call at our earliest convenience. Our office hours are Mondays through Thursdays.
Oh, okay.
10 a.m. until 5.
We're still going to leave a message, Craig.
Closed on Friday.
This will be fun for them to get.
Sunday.
Okay. I'm surprised the hours don't go till 2 a.m.
I know. It's a little disappointing.
A meeting yeah. with Representative
Duncan. Ooh, we can request a meeting.
Oh.
Did you want to meet with him before you leave?
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I'll leave on the 29th. We got time.
RepKenDuncan.com.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Hello to all the people that work at Representative Ken Duncan's office. This is Patty Vasquez from WGN Radio.
Greg Collins.
And Esmeralda Leon.
Tim Barnes.
And Tim Barnes. We are sad to inform you that Tim Barnes is leaving your district. He is a resident of Bronzeville. And you're going where?
I'm moving to New York City.
Do you think you'd like to meet with your representative before you leave to let him know the job that he, about, you know, what you think of the work he's done so far? I mean, he's not going to be in office. He has lost his primary. But perhaps you want to, maybe you can give him sort of a, you know, a debrief. Maybe you can let him know where things went wrong.
Yeah,
the way you've seen it.
With me, I mean, this is purely a career decision for me, Mr. Duncan. It really has nothing to do with anything in the city of Chicago at all.
Is there anything you've noticed in your? You're in the 5th district.
Well, I've noticed that Jokes and Notes is closing, and I'd like to know if there is anything that can be done about that. It's a great comedy club in the Bronzeville.
If he saves jokes and notes, do you stay in Chicago?
If Duncan saves jokes and notes, I will stay in Chicago.
Oh, wow. You have your mission, Representative Duncan. Save jokes and notes, and perhaps comedian Tim Barnes will stay in Chicago. You're doing that. You're putting that out there because you know there's no way, because there's so much involved. I'm guessing that it had to maybe the lease, maybe the owners are to do something else, and there's very little a representative can do about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, Duncan, you should check out what's been happening around the area. Is there anything that could have that Duncan did that led to this, like trickle down, if you
right.
will.
Right.
To this.
Follow-up question. If Representative Duncan opens his own place called Duncan's Jokes and Notes, do you stay?
I do not stay.
Do not stay for that
for
one.
Duncan's jokes and notes.
By the way, Representative Duncan, good idea.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I mean, what would you say was perhaps, do you think that what were some of the accomplishments that you have seen in your district? Do you think that there's anything he could have done differently? He voted against a lot of legislation. Yeah. He might have, been, there were several people who didn't want to, he's been accused of perhaps being somebody who Governor Rauner was working with. And so that's kind of an interesting. You were not aware of that.
I was not. I was not aware of that.
It's not why. It's not why you're leaving either.
It's not why I'm leaving.
No.
I don't interact much with.
Maybe that would have helped him win his re-election if you had interacted with Representative Ken Duncan.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Maybe if you'd gotten out and seen some of the folks.
I'll put it this way: people complain about the weather a lot in Chicago. It's very cold. I don't go outside, sun or.
Sun or sunshine?
Yeah, sun or shine.
Okay.
Sun or shine, I do not go outside. So,
fair enough.
If that says anything, I will say my apartment itself was very nice.
Are you saying it's not very safe in your neighborhood?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I am an introvert who does not go outside, even if it's the best neighborhood on the planet.
Okay, fair enough.
And, if there was a room that I could just stay in at Disneyland and just...
You have reached the maximum
allowed. We want to know about this room at Disneyland. What room would you
wouldn't leave? I would go to Disneyland and just stay in a coffee shop, basically.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I can see that.
You know there's Disneyland, though. There's stuff to do there.
Yeah,
there's
stuff to do. Why would you go to Disneyland to be in a room?
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah.